All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, August 24th, 2021, just a couple minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, and you can translate that into your own time zone. We're going to pick up our study with David and Gene Hertler tonight, and hopefully we're going to get lots of discussion as well. With that, before we get started, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Binder. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, please hear our prayer. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercy and grace. Thank you for blessings we are receiving in the calm before the storm. Strengthen us in mind, body, and spirit that we may be fortified. May we go boldly proclaiming your word throughout the land. Guide us by your word that we may stay on a straight and narrow path, not deviating to the right or to the left. Help us to unite together for truth and liberty all across this land we love, America. We pray for those people in Afghanistan who were given back to the wolves by a jackal and abandoned in dishonor of the promises made by a strong sovereign president. May you have mercy on the souls of Christians all around the earth who are being persecuted because of their love for your Father. For you, Father. Our founding fathers gave up much to give us a republic with your blessings. Help us to restore the rightful governance that would never persecute its own people for any reason. Open the eyes and ears of Americans so that we will be known as a Christian nation again to all nations around the earth, and that slavery of every sort is vanquished from this land. And we will be then be in honor of our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, states in part, I quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, end quote. And so we humbly ask, God save the Republic. In the name of Yeshua we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you, sir, for the prayer. Before we get started in our teaching tonight, let me quickly go through our roll call this evening. Start off with Representative Phil. Representative Reed.
Present, thank you.
All right, thank you, Sue. Representative Rockwell is present as well. Representative Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right, thank you. And Representative Binder.
Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And last but not least, Representative Cox, are you with us tonight? All right, looks like we have four representatives tonight representing four states. And we've got the Senate with us as well as the gallery. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and yield the floor to David and Gene to do our teaching tonight. You guys have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it's a pleasure to learn with all you that are in the House of Representatives and in the Senate tonight. I am going to ask you right now to look at page 14 on the bottom of that page. And I'm going to ask you if you want to talk about any of those points. But before we go to that, I want to read something to you in Scripture found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And I want your insight. When we look at 1954, when we look at the Freemason Lyndon Baines Johnson, and we know that the churches were tax exempt before 1954, 501c3. I want to read these two scriptures to you. And here's what I'm suggesting. There is a separation of church and state ever since 1954, with corporate stepping in and splitting the kingdom. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that the kingdom has lost its power Because listen to these two scriptures found in Ephesians chapter 1. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I believe that those two scriptures don't give any room for corporate yellow fringe flag to be up by the altar. I believe these two scriptures say it all. Let me say it again. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Any comments? Any comments? Okay. I want you to consider revealing that so that we can talk about this in 2 weeks. Okay, look at your Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Okay? Now, going to the lesson, and I want to apologize for not being on when I was supposed to be on because I got a phone call on a Sunday night telling me a friend of mine that I used to cut wood with in the snow and do a lot of deer hunting with passed away, and his funeral was on Tuesday, and so I apologize for that, and we are glad, Gene and I are very glad that we went to the funeral. Looking at the bottom of page 14, is there anyone that has any questions or any comments having to do with those, if you would, five things that are written here, the cause of liberty is the cause. I'll tell you what, this is a wake-up call for me. Through all of these last 3 years, it's finally caught up to me that on the grease board, if it was God's grease board, the number one thing you might want to write is John 3:16. But under John 3:16, I believe it's liberty. And you could even put right under liberty or with liberty, you could put happiness. Okay? So, that the cause of liberty is the cause of God and truth. Number two, that to take arms and repel force by force when our liberties are invaded is well-pleasing to God. This comes with the body politic in a community putting together people that are going to enforce the laws that that community has put together to what? To protect their liberty and their happiness. Okay? Number three, that it is lawful to levy war against those who oppress us. Oppression or cruelty, let's just pick on oppression, is a part of war. It's not a gun. It's not a firearm. But when that tyrant or when those four or five people in office are going to cause oppression upon the people, that is going to war. That's like using a rifle or a gun, okay? Even when they are not at arms against us. That gives you the right to get back, to get away from oppression and go in and take back so that you can have your liberty and you can have your happiness again. Okay? And for gosh sakes, you don't want to listen to obey them to have the rule over you because they're taking on the form of tyranny. Okay? And then the next one, the indolence or procrastination and backwardness. You might want to say laziness and taking arms and exerting ourselves in the service or... Let's do it again. The indolence or procrastination and backwardness or laziness in taking arms and exerting ourselves in the service of our country when called thereto by the public voice in order to recover and secure our freedom or our liberty is a heinous sin in the sight of God. Now, first, liberty first matters. What's her name, Jean? Chris Ann Hall is, I think Chris Ann Hall is tired of talking, and she's kind of tired of hearing people talk about what should be done. What Chris Ann Hall is saying now, Bundy Ranch, you remember Chris Ann Hall, Bundy Ranch, right? What she's saying now, it's time for the people to move. It's time for the people to move. Okay, let's look at this again. The indolence of frantic procrastination and backwardness in taking arms and exerting ourselves in the service of our country, when called thereto by the public voice, in order to recover and secure our liberty, is a heinous sin in the sight of God. Do you think God is pleased with America? Do you think where we are and have been? Listen, 1871, the Organic Act, that was 150 years ago. 150 years ago. And they put together the Freemason progressives, selected, not elected. They snuck in senators that were Freemasons, and we have a saturation of Freemasons in our national government. Not only that, but in our state government. And then you can go to five, that God requires that people struggling for their liberties to treat such of the community who will not join them as open enemies, and to reject them as unworthy the privileges which others enjoy. Okay, floor is open. Any comments here?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Sir, you have the floor.
Well, you asked if the Almighty Father is pleased with the American people. I would say the answer is a resounding no. And with that,
can you state why?
Before.
Can you state why? Can you state why?
Well, I'm going to say why. Well, let's see. Where do we begin? Child trafficking, homosexuality, transgenderism. Let's see. Where else? Drugs, drunkenness. Okay. Welfare mentality, living off the welfare and not working for a living. Let's see, what else we got? We got materialism. Does that help?
What you're talking about then in one word is corruption, correct? Corruption.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, that's why the Almighty Father is not pleased with the American people.
All right, and we're not taking measures to take the deep state out yet. Right? We're not taking measures. What we're trying to do is tell the people what we have here is a jurisdiction that is the Republic for the United States of America that's based on God's law, that's based on the laws of nature and nature's God, what he created in the 66 books in the canon of Scripture, which is a glove fit for all the worship centers from Los Angeles to New York City. Okay? But we know that they're ignorant. And we know that they don't want anything to do with politics since 1954. Anyone else?
This is our
David, I'd
like
to interject.
Okay, wait. All right. Jean, go ahead.
Thank you. Wanted to say, you know, in looking at this and looking at a picture in my mind of history and the timeline and the prophetic timeline and understanding from the Word of God through the all the books of the Word of God, the timeline moves in patterns, and that's the benefit of knowing our history, is so that we understand, we're able to predict the future because we know the past, and we understand the patterns of the Creator, and we also understand the patterns in symbology in prophecy. And history is simply prophecy that's not yet happened. But we can figure out the unfolding just by understanding our history. And with that, I want to say that certainly, you know, the Creator has not been pleased with how we've been degraded and spiraled down as a society. And we don't have a biblical culture anymore. It's very immoral. And I, you know, 10 years ago, even 20 years ago, I would never have imagined to see things out in public that we do today, or what is accepted, or how people have become complacent, or just where we've landed. And it's not comfortable, it's not pretty, but we do understand that, you know, with the rod of corrections in history that God has used for his people when they would violate his laws, there would always be judgment and the sentence would fit whatever the crime was. And judgment was always for a period of time. And then God, who's merciful, he would hear his people cry because the taskmasters, the rod of correction, the foreign people that they became enslaved to, they did cruel and unusual punishment. And when the people would cry out, he would respond and he would intervene on their behalf. And we have that hope that we're not left. And then considering too that understanding our history, knowing our truthful history, and that the people were, they had a biblical culture, they lived the Word of God, and they had the blessings of obedience in Deuteronomy chapter 28. They taught their children for 300 years. The Bible and biblical principles were taught to the school children, whether by homeschooling or when they started public schools. But the rulers of evil, these infiltrates that secreted our republic into dormancy and then went forward with the corporate democracy masquerading as the republic, how they infiltrated in our court system and in our school system, and then learning that the very early 1900s, they started to remove what was good and sound and principled and began to add in socialism, you know, the tenets of communism, through the generations to where us baby boomers are now the fourth generation. And it's time. It's time on the prophetic timeline to turn that around. And I see, I witness the American people an awakening of a very large percentage. And in that, the light is growing brighter. And with the light growing brighter, we can see what's been hid in darkness, and that's scriptural. So even though it's very uncomfortable and we're seeing despicable things, horrendous things, and we probably only have a little portion of it, we have hope. We have hope for him to turn it around. And David, you're presenting here a recipe and how to do that. So it's good for us to understand this so that we know, and as leaders, how to bring it forward, because we know the truth. And when we know the truth, it'll set us free. So thanks for bearing with me on that. I yield.
Thank you, Jean. There was another, somebody else wanted to get in just the same time you did, Jean. Go ahead.
Yes, Representative Mark Binder.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
That was fantastic. I just wanted to add that we're also experiencing in America and around the world the age-old problem of idol worship, which is anything that distracts you from worshiping the Creator the way you see fit. And that seems to be a pretty big problem, too. I mean, God knows his people, and there's always hope. A person can always change around their life once they realize what's happening. But unfortunately, there's so many distractions and so much lying going on that people are believing. I mean, it's been said that it's easier to deceive someone than it is to tell them that they have been deceived. So that's the problem that we face in some respects as well. So with God's help, we'll get her done. And I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Binder. Anyone else? Gene, you got something to say?
Senator Latimer.
Yes, sir, Senator. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm an optimist, and that's not an accident. God put me in that place, but I just see what God can do. You know, a lot of us see what's going on, and we get, you know, you can get depressed if you just look out there and you just see, whoa, you know, look at all the bad things that are going on. But, you know, one of the things in the Our Father, it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's not an accident God put those words in there. You don't think that can be done? I know he can do that. And that's a different world. That's a totally different world. And it's going to be. And that's where I believe he's going to take things. And I remember some of the different places in the Bible, and, you know, some of the guys were, I think it was one of the prophets had his servant with him, and his servant was really depressed because he saw all these men out there coming at him, this army coming at him, and the prophet said to the Lord, open his eyes, let him see what's really there. And all those, and he looked out, and all these angels were there, which were way more than that army that was coming at him. And that's what we've got. Those angels are there. They haven't gone away. They're still there with our God and helping on our journey. So I think a lot of times we forget, you know, what our resources are. And if we can, you know, have more of an optimistic point of view of things, just know that our God, there's nothing he can't do. But he's looking for a people that will believe him to do it. That's really what he's looking for. He's looking for that will believe him to step in and really turn things around. And I just see that coming. I don't think there's any way that that's not going to happen. And I don't think it's that far off it's going to start taking place. So I yield to that.
Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Excellent.
I agree. Okay, now what I'm talking about here, I've said this to you before. September 23rd, 1775, there was a bunch of delegates. There was a four-day convention, and there was a bunch of delegates that stood up and said, we have a mother country. We should offer an olive branch. We got to get along with our mother country, all this and that. They were whims. They were two-faced. They had no guts, and that's the way they talked. But the last guy that stood up was a guy by the name of Patrick Henry. And that's the first thing that I memorized when I got involved with the Republic. But I want to tell you, with what's been going on, I listened to Chris Ann Hall, and what's been going on, there's a lot of talking going on, but are people doing anything about it? Okay? I think it's going to happen. But Patrick Henry says, I have one lamp of which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. And I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been done in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen that please to solace themselves in the house. Is it that insidious smile but which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove to be a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed with a kiss. Then he went on to say, ask yourself how this gracious reception of our petition comports with those warlike preparations which cover our waters and darken our lands. Our fleets and armies necessary to do a work of love and reconciliation. Have we shown ourselves to be so unwilling to be reconciled that a force must be called in to win back our love? That's what we're going with right now. The people may be talking, but is there any leadership that is going to lead the charge against the deep state? This COVID thing is not only in America, it's throughout the world. Okay. Any comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt. Yes,
go ahead.
Please. Requesting a part. Actually, I was going to bring this up towards the end, but there's one individual that is leading the charge against the election fraud and exposing COVID and a lot of other issues, and that is Mike Lindell of MyPillow.com.
Uh-huh.
And he has put it online. He has spent like tens of millions of dollars of his own money. He's got his own a website and got his own show called Lindell Report, and his own site is called home.frankspeech.com. And
amen.
He just started last week. He started his own. He started the Lindell Report 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. and then he's been working with Brandon House. And he comes on, and they've been getting a lot of stuff on about that. They're doing everything he can to expose the election fraud with Dominion. And another thing that they're putting out there that he is offering to us provide financial and personal assistance. The whistleblowers, people that are blowing the whistle, that are being harassed by Dominion or government officials. And an example right now is in Mesa County, Colorado. The clerk of court that there, whatever that there, Tina Peters. Well, she has been harassed by the Secretary of State, and there's all kinds of legal garbage going on there, and she's basically been shoved aside, and she's in safe places right now. Like the one time they had that there, and Mike Lindell, you know, got her into a hotel room. Well, the only thing is the hotel room got broken into. And, you know, a lot of stuff like that. So there are people stepping up that are stepping up and they're putting, you know, like, say, Mr. Lindell, he's putting tens of millions of dollars on it, and he's putting it all on the line to save this country. So that's one individual right there. So, and I just thought I'd bring that up, and with that, you'll be four.
I agree with you 100%, sir. I agree with you 100%. Anybody else? Okay, going to page 15, going to the top, let me break in. Remember, the cause of life, liberty, and happiness is the cause of God. And then Whitaker, to open this, I will inquire. First, what we are to understand by liberty or freedom, and then go to whylibertymatters.com and learn the depth and definition of liberty. We know what Marlene McMillan says about liberty, having the opportunity to make a choice, assume responsibility, and accept the consequences. Then Whitaker goes down, prove that this is the cause of God. What we are to understand by liberty, it is sufficient to my present purpose to distinguish liberty into moral, natural, and civil. Moral liberty lies in an ability or opportunity to act or conduct as the agent pleases. He that is not hindered by any external force from acting as he chooses or wills to act is perfectly free in a moral sense, and so far as he possesses this freedom, so far and no farther is he a moral, accountable creature, and his actions worthy of praise or blame. By natural liberty, I mean that freedom of action and conduct which all men have a right to, antecedent or prior to their being members of society. Mr. Locke defines to be that state or condition in which all men naturally are to order all their actions. I got to turn a page here. All their actions and dispose of themselves and possessions as they think fit within the bounds of the law of nature without asking leave or depending on the will of any man. Then Whitaker picks up to follow that, and he says, in this state, all men are equal, and no one hath a right to govern or control another, and the law of nature, or the eternal reason and fitness of things, is to be the only rule of his conduct, of the meaning of which everyone is to be his own judge. But since the corruption of nature by sin, the lusts and passions of men so blind their minds and harden their hearts, that this perfect law of love is little considered and less practiced. So that a state of nature, which would have been a state of perfect freedom and happiness, had man continued in his first rectitude, uprightness, honesty, integrity, righteousness, in a state of war, rapine, violent force, seizure, and murder. Hence arises an absolute necessity that societies should form themselves into politic bodies in order to enact laws for the public safety and appoint some to put them in execution that the good may be encouraged and that the vicious deterred from evil practices. And these laws should always be founded on the law of nature. Any comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt who requested the floor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The only thing is I'm going to point back to John Locke. A little bit of his history. Between 1696 and 1701, he was the commissioner on the Board of Trade, you know, in London, and that regulated all import and export trade, you know, to and from the British Empire, and he pushed through the Navigation Act of 1696, and here are some of the points on it. Requiring all colonial governors and commanders in chief to take a solemn oath to enforce the letter of the law upon penalty of a massive fine and removal from office. Granting customs officials broad powers of search and seizure. Declaring that all colonial laws, bylaws, usages, or customs contrary to the act are illegal, null and void, to all intents and purposes whatsoever. And authorizing customs official to constitute and appoint such and so many officers of the customs in any city, town, river, port, harbor, or creek, when and as often as to them shall seem needful. And next one, permitting juryless vice admiralty courts to try cases arising under the act. And this is the big one right here. Explicitly prohibiting colonial trade with Scotland and Ireland, along with all foreign countries, unless the same shall have been first landed in the King of England, the Dominion of Wales, or the town of Berwick-upon-Tweed, and paid the rates and duties wherewith they are chargeable by law, under the penalty of forfeiture of the ship and goods. And this is from an article that I had emailed to Gene a while back. I don't know if you got that one, Gene, but let's see, 69, oh yeah, he came up with the Wool Act in 1699, and banning the export of all woolen products from the American colonies. So those two acts right there really put a stranglehold on the colonies. And I've got another one I'm going to bring up. This is going to be from a different article. This is going to be from Locke's two treatises on government. No, wait a minute. That would be it right there. And this is going to be, let's see which one I'm going to find it. It's going to be concerning slavery. There is another sort of servants, which by a peculiar name we call slaves, who being captives taken in a just war are by the right of nature subjugated to the absolute dominion arbitrary power of the masters. These men having, as I say, forfeited their lives and with it their liberties and lost their estate and being in the state of slavery, not capable of any property, cannot in that state be considered as a part of any part of civil society, the chief end whereof is the preservation of property. These are just the tip of the iceberg, and, I work a full-time job. I would go into, try to get PDFs of some of his publications and go through it more, but like I say, due to the fact that I have to work for a living, I can't go into it further, but I've got four articles in front of me right now that connect John Locke to the financial oligarchy. So one of these days I'll put together a white paper called Exposing John Locke Stock and Barrel. And with that, I yield the floor.
Well, thank you, Representative Schmidt. You have shared this. This is the second time I think you've shared this with us. I have to respect Pastor Whitaker at age 20, went to his first church in Connecticut, and then July 28th in 1769, he was asked if he would preach at the Third Church of Salem, Massachusetts, which he agreed to do. This man was a great political counselor. This guy was well studied in the Word of God, and I have to believe this guy had a lot of wisdom, had a lot of understanding, and I respect him for quoting just this little quote by Locke. I don't know if he knew any of the stuff that you brought to our attention, David. Defined to be the state or condition which all men naturally are to order all their actions and dispose of themselves of possessions as they think fit within the bounds of the law of nature without asking leave or depending on the will of any man. There must have been a real reason why this great pastor brought this quote. And then he played off of it. He said, in this state, all men are equal, and no one has the right to govern or control another. And the law of nature, the eternal reason of fitness, is to be the only rule of his conduct, of the meaning of which every everyone is to be his own judge. But I respect what you're saying, but I also have to respect Whitaker. He was a very upright man. Anybody else have any comments?
David, can I respond to that quick, real please?
Yeah, quick.
This is not out of any disrespect whatsoever to Pastor Whitaker, okay? He may make that but that's not disrespecting him in any way, shape, or form. But I found a lot of other stuff on John Locke that I think he brought forward. And I've known about this late 1990s. I just thought I'd respond to that real quick.
Yeah.
And then I yield the floor.
All right, thank you. And was that Senator Latimer?
It was, I think it was somebody both. It was Representative Latimer and Latimer.
Okay, Senator Latimer, go ahead first.
I didn't call for the floor, but... I'll yield for a bit. I'll come in later.
All right, fine. And then Mark Binder, you have the floor, sir.
Yes, sir. In the first paragraph that you read here, in this state all men are equal, and no one hath a right to govern or control another, and the law of nature or the eternal reason and fitness of things is to be the only rule of his conduct, or the meaning of which everyone is to be his own judge. That right there describes a person being able to self-govern himself to a T.
Amen.
And all one needs to know after having a conscience and knowing this, how to self-govern himself, is to use the Bible as far as a form of punishment, what God would direct to happen, as long as it applies to this time anyway. So you have a biblical worldview, and you know that, and you're in good shape. And I yield. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Just going on down here. So civil liberty, in the middle of the page, civil liberty is the freedom exercised by bodies politic, the whole body of people united under one government, found in the laws of nature and of nature's God. It is to be the power of civil society or state to govern itself by its own discretion or by laws of its own making without being subject to any foreign direction or the impositions, the laying on of the of something as a burden or obligation of extraneous power. Quote, hence it appears that perfect civil liberty differs from natural only in this, that in a natural state or actions, persons, and possessions are under the direction, judgment, and control of none other but ourselves. But in a civil state, under the direction of others, according to the laws of that state in which we live, which by the supposition are perfectly agreeable to the law of nature. So, in the first case, it's private judgment. In the second, the public judgment of the sense of the law of nature is to be the rule of the conduct. When this is the case, civil liberty is perfect, and everyone enjoys all that freedom which God designed for his rational creatures in a social state. All liberty beyond this is mere licentiousness, a liberty to sin, which is the worst of slavery. But when any laws are enacted which cross the law of nature, their civil liberty is invaded, and God and men justly offended. I got to get to this last paragraph on page 16. Think of the U.S. Supreme Court case, Roe v. Wade, concerning abortion. Think of taking prayer out of schools, also Bible curriculum. Think of the government prying themselves into places of worship with corporate 501c3, the Johnson gag order. These things terribly weakened the body of Christ because the public effect was in violation of what? The laws of nature and of nature's God, and resulted in bringing offense to both God and man. Here's what I want to say. The Republic, the Founding Fathers, didn't want to make any laws that went against the Word of God. Okay? The democracy is based on feelings. Well, how do you feel about this bill today? Well, I might change my mind tomorrow, but right now this is the way I feel about it. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It's just based on feelings. Okay? What I'm saying is, any laws during your lifetime such as Roe v. Wade, such as taking prayer out of school, taking Bible curriculum out of school, taking the Ten Commandments out, whatever, any of those that were done were against God. They were against God and His kingdom. They ought not have happened. Now, if you would have had a republic and you would have had real representatives, they would have jumped over the desk and said, this isn't what's going to happen. You are not going to take prayer out of school. You are not going to take Bible curriculum out of school. This Roe v. Wade thing, forget it. Any laws that are outside the Word of God is against God. I want you to know that. And with that, the floor is open.
This is Doug Reed from Nebraska. May I have the floor?
You sure may, sir. Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. I tried to actually break in quite a lot earlier, but I forgot I had myself muted. Right after we talked about Mike Lindell, and the question was posed, who is really taking action, trying to get the country right? If anybody has been able to listen to some of President Trump's rallies, I was able to listen to most of his rally in Alabama last week. Very heartful and very positive. He is trying to lead people back to the Republic. And he mentions bringing the country back to the Republic. And, of course, back to the Bible as well. I yield.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else?
This is Representative David Schmidt, real quick.
Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Yes, I did get to watch that rally on Saturday on Frank's Speech, home.frankspeech.com, and about the only thing I disagreed with, the only thing I don't support with Donald Trump is his pushing people to get the vaccines. And I think a big part of the reason that there is, he has no idea what is inside those vaccines, and he is not being informed as to all the side effects, all the people that are dying from them, and people that are getting sick and missing work, et cetera, et cetera. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you.
This is Doug Reed. May I have the floor briefly?
Yes, please.
Okay. I am aware of him saying that, and I, too, am against anybody pushing the jabs. They're not really a vaccine. And basically, I think he's doing that to take the wind out of the sails with the people in the deep state who will say, well, if you're not supporting the jabs, then you're doing a grave disservice to humanity. And I personally am making up my mind. When I know it's safe, I will probably get the vaccine. But it's not there yet. I yield.
This is John.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, John, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. If you listen to what President Trump is saying, he's giving the people the choice to do it or to not. And he knows that most people are comfortable with those particular shots, but you still have a choice. He's not taking your choice away. And I think that's the big key to what he says. I yield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Anyone else have a comment?
This is Representative Mark Binder.
Mark Binder, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I believe the reason why he is talking about the vaccine and fast-tracking it and everything is because if he had not done that when he was president and he has not supported it, I believe that they would probably lock this country down for possibly up to 5 years till they had an approved vaccine. And I think he took the wind out of the deep state sails for doing that, for having the businesses, especially the smaller businesses, go completely bankrupt. And I yield with that. Thank you.
Thank you. There was another one that wanted to have a comment. Go ahead.
Senator Latimer, yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Senator.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things, if you look at what's going on in Afghanistan, how bad they screwed up, how bad they're screwing up over there, and what they've done wrong already, and what's probably going to end up happening in the end, is I think the Lord's allowing that to happen just so the more or less the Democratic Party loses much of its support. I really believe that he's just showing people that this is what these guys are. You really want to follow them? And then the other one was the COVID thing. And I don't know how many guys know this, but there's like six different absolute cures for COVID that are out there that are not shots. And that the one the president took, the hydrochloroquine, the budesimide, ivermectin, chlorine dioxide, Regenovon, and I don't know, there's a couple others too, but there's so much stuff out there that's absolutely cures for it. And what's happening is in the medical profession, you go into the hospital, they're not giving you those cures. They're not. They're giving you something else, and then what they'll do is they'll put you on a ventilator, and then you end up going, taking you out. It's the whole thing is just backwards. And if somebody needs to, some place down the line here, step in and say, hey, look, guys, what are you doing? You know, if we have all these cures out here, why are you doing? Why don't you have the people put it out on the radio? If you think you got it, come in early. We'll give you a shot of something, or give you not a shot of as far as a vaccination, but they give you some of these cures, and you're gonna be cured in a few days. That's the way they work. There's the chlorine dioxide. I listened to the whole program. I think it was down in South America. I'm trying to remember what nation it was. But what they did was they were losing 100 people a day, and they brought this chlorine dioxide in there, and they started giving it to the people. First, they gave it to the military and to the leaders, political leaders, and they all got cured of their COVIDs real quick. And then they started giving it to everybody. The death rate went from 100 to zero. In a short amount of time in that nation, and and it stayed there. And I'm just saying, there's cures for this stuff. It's crazy that they're not using the cures, and they're allowing people to die in the hospital. I yield.
Senator Latimer, thank you so much for the information. With that, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to yield the floor back to you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, David and Gene. Lots of good discussion tonight. That's what makes this call great, is everybody jumping in and being able to discuss what's going on, even though we got a little bit off track. But I think that's all right. We're here to basically teach the American people what's going on, and use the truth to do that. So anyway, with that, does anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Well, back in 1995, in the early days of being awake, for me, 15 years before the reinhabitation of the Republic, I had learned back then that Rothschild and the Cabal Deep State had laid down the plans for the elimination of 90% of the population. And phase one was the legalization of abortion. And the reason they've gotten away from it, because 95% of the people have no clue what the real agenda is, and that's the population. And that's what this is with the COVID debt there, and that's what the COVID is. This is what debt there. This is what the plans were laid down 60 years ago. And they're implementing it right now. And of course, you have the biological terrorist attack with COVID being released into the public and everything else, and attacking that way. But the real weapon is the vaccine. That's where you're going to see the mass genocide. And I mean, you look at all the different ingredients that are in it, you'll see why. and even with all the different, you know, the number of different patents on it as well. And that's where you're going to realize that there's going to be a lot of people dying unless we can come up with a way to reverse the damage of the vaccines, be able to restore our DNA back to its original form instead of having it altered. That's a real big kicker with the mRNA. And there's medical scientists that are blowing the whistle on that right now on that. And with that, yield the floor.
Thank you very much. There are ways to deal with the mRNA piece in that, but I just got some of it today, and I can't talk about it yet just because I haven't digested it all. Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
You have the floor.
Thank you. I agree pretty much with what everybody said tonight, and I just wanted to add also that I don't believe that the vaccine was made for COVID-19. I believe COVID-19 was engineered so that they could promote the vaccine and cause all the irreparable damage that they're doing to people. And I also like to read a quote by Dr. Benjamin Rush that speaks to this very thing. Of course, he was the signer of the Declaration of Independence. He says, "Lest we put medical freedom into the Constitution, time will come when medicine will organize an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privilege to others, will be to constitute the bastille of medical science. And all such laws are un-American and despotic and have no place in a republic. The Constitution of this republic should make special privileges for medical freedom as well as religious freedom." And that's too bad that didn't get done. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else have any closing comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt. We'll cross the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Well, I'll tell you what. Benjamin Rush nailed it on the head. And with that, I yield.
Right, thank you. Anybody else?
This is Jean.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to comment that quote is so powerful. And when we have the direct words of a founding father, and specifically one that's been a signer of the Declaration of Independence, it's just very powerful. I thank you for that, and I yield the floor.
All right, thank you very much. Anybody else? All right, if not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight. And please be aware that we are going to meet next week as well. So when you make that motion, just include that we're going to meet on the 31st of August.
So this is Representative David Schmidt making the motion to adjourn until August 31st, Tuesday, at 8 p.m. Central. With that, I yield the floor.
This is our Representative Mark Feiner seconding that motion.
All right, thank you very much. We've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight and reconvene next Tuesday, the 31st. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned tonight, and we'll reconvene next Tuesday. I know we've kind of gotten out of whack of the particular schedule that I drew up, but I think we're going to get back on track here as of this week and next week. So I know it's kind of strange, but it is what it is, and we had to do what we had to do. So with that, before we close, does somebody want to do that in prayer this evening?
Senator Latimer, I'll do it.
All right, you have the floor.
All right, Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you that you're with us, you're watching over us, and we ask that you continue to help us on our journeys. Give us the gifts, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the clear direction. And help us on our journeys, each one of us, Lord, to find that closeness with you and to walk your chosen path in our lives. And that your protection be over each one of us and our families, Lord. Put a shield over us that cannot be broken through by the enemy. And that you'll help us with all that we do. And we just give you praise for all that you've done in the past, but mostly for what's coming in the future. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I'd like to add one prayer in, please.
Yes, most certainly.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift up James Timothy Turner, who was railroaded into prison, and he has suffered greatly. And we ask that you bring him out of prison and bring him back home to his family immediately and bring healing to his entire body, and that he can assist you in restoring your republic. We ask this in the name of your Ben, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
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 Definitely. Let it be so. All right. Good night,
everybody.
We'll catch you next week.
Yep, good night.